Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of Plank of the Week. It's the second week of the year and we are still in a massive lockdown. However, I have managed to coax out of their homes Mr. Kevin O'Sullivan, the Talk Radio's finest at the weekends and other times as well. And Dawn Neeson, not just Talk Radio's finest, but also, you know, superstar of all sorts of media. Now, last week, the first one of the year was a bit predictable. I think today we're going to have a few different names, right? Because at the end of the day, we can't just keep doing the same people like Sadiq Khan, Harry and Meghan, Boris Johnson. So I'm going to ask you, Kevin, to kick us off. Who's your first plank?
Angela Merkel, the
good job.
German leader.
Yes.
Who has suddenly taken to calling the coronavirus the British virus. She was part of the caucus who accused Donald Trump of being racist for calling it the Chinese virus.
Yes.
Or Kung Flu.
Yes.
My particular favourite.
Yeah, that was good.
It is a Chinese virus, so I don't know why that was supposed to be racist. But Angela has now started calling it the British virus because of the new variant that allegedly started here.
I thought it started in South Africa.
They don't think
the
it did start. Well, they don't know where it started.
Isn't that the other one?
But we have the best tracing system to work out what viruses are and what their strengths are. So we were able.
Blimey.
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. So about the best in the world.
That's amazing.
So we were the first to identify it, and because of that, we get labelled by Angela with the British virus. Now, why is she calling it the British virus? Of course, it's for political expediency. Mm. First of all, she's making a complete mess of the COVID crisis in Germany.
Whereas at the beginning, of course, Germany was the superstar.
Well, they always say
they were
that,
doing so well.
Germany,
they were so efficient.
Germany, with its ruthless efficiency, will be very good. Well, it hasn't been.
Not
it's
like
been,
that's in any way a stereotype that these lefties come out with all the time.
Parts
right?
of parts,
racist.
Yeah, parts of Germany. They are piling up the coffins in the street to handle the body. So Angela is making a complete screw up of the COVID crisis. Their vaccination program compared with ours is useless. They've only managed about 670,000 in 2 to 3
weeks.
Well,
the whole EU is pretty useless.
Yeah. And here's the point. Here's the real thing. Is the EU, which her beloved EU, is on the point of doing a big trade deal with China. They don't want to offend China by in any way implying that this virus has got anything to do with the darling Chinese.
Oh, yeah, nothing to do with them at all.
It's the British. It's the British. So for that, Angela, and for your uselessness in causing the migrant crisis, for your uselessness in being absolutely hopeless at dealing with the COVID crisis, for your general uselessness, actually, you are Plank of the Week.
I think that's absolutely fair.
That's normal. Yeah, I haven't heard her calling it the British virus yet. That's quite impressive, really.
There have been a couple of people calling it that, actually, interestingly enough.
Well, just because we're at the forefront of actually analysing the virus and working out the mutations.
I mean, it's not like we've been crunching down any pangolin.
Do you know
How was it Boris described it? Pangolin sort of grating
its... Where did that come from?
Grinding its pangolins in order to make your sex life better, which is apparently why they...
They're little like anteaters.
But do you want to know something? Do you want to know something? The strange... parallel with the Spanish flu epidemic. Mm. Spanish flu began on a farm, a chicken farm in Wyoming.
Right. Mm.
It was first identified when it was halfway around the world in Spain.
In Spain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish, in fact, there was a press blankout. All media across the world decided not to write about it because the world was so depressed after World War I anyway.
Right.
The Spanish broke the rules and started saying, we've got this flu.
Right.
And so it became known as the Spanish flu. They didn't start it.
We've also had Asian flu.
Angela's trying to do a Spanish flu on us.
We've also had Asian flu. I mean, I've heard of Asian flu.
Yes.
We've had bird flu.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's wrong with worth calling it
the
Chinese virus?
I think we should kick back, fight back at Angela, and because they've got the coronavirus in Germany, why don't we just call it the German flu?
Yeah, well, we could do.
German measles. Well, we've got German measles.
German measles, yeah. Although you have to call that rubella now, I think. Oh, yeah, that's probably why they changed the name, right?
I don't. German measles.
What a surprise.
Extremely German, those measles are.
Listen, you're going to be accused not only of being a massive racist, but a xenophobic maniac.
Oh, that'll make a big change
last
for me.
Last week you were attacked by all these Doctor Who fans for having a go at old what's her face? What was her name?
Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah, Jodie Whittaker. Yeah. I think I knew what I was doing.
I mean, why didn't you know that the Nazis were the Daleks? Why didn't you know that?
Because I don't care about that sort of thing and don't spend my time thinking about Doctor Who. Yeah. And also, I have read up about it. It's a very moot point that the Daleks are based on the Nazis. It's just some sort of interpretation by all those little geeks who love Doctor Who. So here I go again. I'm going to be in trouble again. Aren't I?
Yeah. Not that he cares, but he read up about it.
Afterwards.
You know what I found?
That doesn't make any sense. I get accused of this. I look up about it.
I found at the weekend.
What do you mean? Well, I don't understand the trail of your argument there. I get accused of being stupid for not knowing that Daleks are Nazis, so I look into it. You think that's a really strange thing to do?
Yes. You're supposed to do it. It's like,
why?
It's like
is that a strange thing to do?
It's like I once sent to Pippa Crera, you know, your alma mater, Daily Mirror, political editor, right, who, in the wake of the old Dominic Cummings escapade up in Barnard Castle, said... The police, she at one point put a tweet out saying, the police will now be investigating this to see what the true facts of the story are. To which I said, well, in the old days, call me old-fashioned, we used to do that before we published the story.
Ouch. I thought you were supposed to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Never mind. Anyway, Dawn, who's your first nominee?
Yeah, it's going to be the female version this week,
Kevin,
isn't it?
I'm going to go...
old school.
Mine's Dawn Neeson.
Shut up, Kevin.
You're stupid about Daleks.
Daleks. Right, any case.
They're Nazis.
Yeah, and you know that because you looked into it being like... Right, any case, I'm going to do Madonna.
Yes.
Because Madonna, remember the first lockdown? The bathtub full of rose petals.
Oh, God, yes, I'd forgotten about
in
that.
In the multi-million pound house thing. The thing about COVID, it's the great equaliser. Mm. We're all in this together.
She
rich
claimed
and
to have
poor.
Had it, didn't she?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, she's had it just as she was going on the Black Lives Matter march, I think. Any case, while we're all in this together and locked down in our homes, Madonna decided to travel 11,700 miles in 3 weeks over Christmas and New Year as a getaway. She went to five separate countries, including the UK, Egypt, Malawi, Kenya, America. Came here to pick her son up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did she quarantine for 14 days?
No, well, evidently, we have this ruling now that high-worth individuals can do what you want. So if you're rich and you're famous, you can do what you
want. I remember when they brought this in, but I didn't know that she'd actually taken advantage of that.
Well, evidently
she had. It's a private jet thing.
It was a private jet, absolutely, yeah. So she was she's a high-value business traveler. She had a private jet. She managed to dodge all the quarantine rules.
Does that mean you can get as much duty-free as you like as well?
Well, quite clearly. But she had, I think, four of her kids with her, possibly five if you include her toy boy boyfriend, who's about 12. So she was jetting around the world, having a lovely time over Christmas and New Year, and saying, oh, it's a great equaliser, we're all in it together, stay strong.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah.
It's very sort of Harry and Meghan of her, isn't it?
It is. There's a slight amount of hypocrisy there.
Yes, just a little bit.
The super spreader, the materially dangerous girl.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Borderline is another one you could go with. Well, it's ridiculous, isn't it? You can understand people being, if they're able to, get on a private jet, fly to some beautiful, you know, paradise like, I don't know, the Maldives or something, and take your family and just have a nice holiday and then fly back. But to go to five different countries.
She came over here to pick Rocco up, her son with Guy Ritchie, isn't he?
Yes.
20 years old. So she came over to pick him up.
Blimey.
Took him round as well and then dumped him back off. And whether he quarantined or not, or does he qualify as a high worth individual?
Well, I mean,
who knows?
This is the trouble, isn't it? Because the rules are so weird. You know, does the son of a high worth individual mean that you get to disappear off into the ether as well? Who the hell knows?
But it's you know, we're not all in this together. It's one law for them and one law for the rest of us that are locked down in grey, miserable UK, all of us doing our bit.
Yeah, staring at the walls, wondering when we're going to be able to go anywhere. You know,
yeah, these celebrities, though, you know, by all means go off on your luxury holidays. But if you had any self-awareness as a celebrity, but you know, you would not get yourself pictured. They make a point of, here's me on the beach in my bikini.
Yeah,
it's a really bad look.
I think it's because they're all such narcissists, though. Yeah, they need to be in
they
the
need
public
to be talked
eye,
about. They need to
even,
be looked at.
This is even better, Kev. With Madonna, she actually took a private photographer with her. To take official pictures. I mean, it's not like she's trying to keep quiet about it, but hey, you know, we're all in this together. Great equaliser.
I think you might have the winner there, you know, because I'm not sure anybody's going to beat that.
Well, take some doing.
We shall see. My first nomination is going to be Twitter. Not because I want them to ban me, but because they banned loads of other people. Apparently, they've banned 70,000 accounts, which they've decided are in some way either Trump supporting or bots. And nobody's really sure because they won't tell anyone, because like all social media companies, they don't ever say how they operate. Having banned Donald Trump from Twitter, they were the first kind of organisation of social media to ban the president of the United States, which in and of itself is ludicrous, right, to me. The fact that they were questioning what he was tweeting out, the fact that they were fact-checking what the president of the United States was saying. The Ayatollah Khomeini has still got an account with Twitter.
Have you seen some of the stuff he tweets about Israel?
Yeah.
I mean, this country doesn't need
this is a guy who believes.
Does he use emojis?
He's basically believed. This is a guy that believes.
Palm trees.
Yeah, he does he does the gif with the old nuclear bomb going off, you know. I mean, this is a guy who believes in wiping Israel off the face of the earth, right? Donald Trump has been accused of inciting violence. What do you think this guy's doing? Now, it gets worse, though, because yesterday, I could barely believe my eyes. I thought it was a parody account. But there's something called Twitter Public Policy, which is one of their accounts, OK? And here's what they wrote. Ahead of the Ugandan election, we're hearing reports that internet service providers are being ordered to block social media and messaging apps. We strongly condemn internet shutdowns. They are hugely harmful, violate basic human rights and the principles of the open internet. Mm-hmm. Now, talk about hypocrisy. These are the same people that have just banned everybody who happens to be right wing and who have taken away from people like me 500 followers. Now, it doesn't bother me that 500 followers have disappeared, but I find it slightly sinister.
It is sinister, slightly murky. I mean, but they have so much information on everybody as well, these companies.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be accountable to anybody.
They don't. This is it. I mean, I learned this many, many years ago when I first did The Independent Republic of Mike Graham as a show on Talk Sport. It was an overnight show. It had a page on Facebook. One day, suddenly, the page just vanished. And it had become so sort of busy. And there were some stupid people on there who would argue with each other, but they would basically just have rows on a kind of a common thread. But one day it just disappeared. Could I find out what had happened? No. Mm. There wasn't anyone to call. There wasn't anyone you could even email. Mm. There was no justification for it. And Facebook just do whatever they like. Mm. And then apparently they're going to fact check what people like me do. I don't think so.
It's very sinister.
I mean, I could have done the whole of social media, but I think for today, especially because of the Ugandan situation, which used to mean something else, didn't it, in the old days, in private eye, I just think it's ridiculous. So Twitter, number one for me. Yeah. Kevin?
Nancy Pelosi, a Speaker of the House in America, who has responded to President Trump's antics last week by trying to impeach him. He will have to stand trial, of course, in the Senate after he's left office and could be impeached successfully for found guilty of the charges, which is that he incited violence and insurrection on the Capitol building, the home of American democracy. If he's found guilty of that, I mean, he'll be in a world of trouble. She's doing that purely for political expediency, purely to advantage the Democrats over the Republicans as Joe Biden's administration starts. She wants to demonise Trump and therefore demonise the Republicans. She's also very spitefully trying to kick her mortal enemy while he's down.
I think it's very childish.
The sensible thing would have been to just say, well, there's only 10 more days now.
It's a week, isn't it?
Oh, he could press the nuclear button. No, he can't. No one's going to do anything Donald Trump says until he leaves office. So they should have quietly let his presidency play out. He disappears.
Also,
he's never going to be a candidate at the next election.
If he's not going to the inauguration, because he says he's not going, which is a week today, as you say, presumably he sneaks away on Tuesday, does he? So he's not even a week.
He was never going to cause any harm.
I mean, I suppose that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because if you're the President of the United States and you want to slip away to Mar-a-Lago, it's quite difficult, isn't it? I mean, he's going to do sort of Will Carling style, smuggle himself out in the boot of the car. Get into the beast
but
and be
it's
driven
just
away.
As Kevin said, it's adding more fuel to this fire, isn't it? Just let him go. Just move on now and start afresh.
Yeah, America's a tinderbox right now.
Yeah.
As you saw last week.
They really shouldn't be stoking that fire.
And the Democrats are putting a match to that tinderbox.
Also, isn't Nancy Pelosi the woman who did two things in the last year? One, I think I'm right in saying She gave an interview in her house in which it was shown that she had some kind of ridiculously expensive fridge that cost something like 20 grand or something.
Yeah.
And she also, did she not sneak
she
off?
Well, yeah, she got her hair cut
and she got
illegally.
Her hair cut illegally, yes, yeah. When
no,
everyone was supposed to be locked
she probably
down.
Got another ton of lacquer applied to
well,
it.
Listen, you wouldn't want to light a fag anywhere.
The
here,
environment
though,
is not safe while Nancy is using that amount of hair lacquer.
No,
there.
Exactly right. Dawn, who's your second?
Right, okay, well, this is going to be a magazine. It's going to be Cosmopolitan magazine, which is out on sale this month.
I used to read Cosmopolitan magazine when I was a young lad.
Learned
a lot.
It's a good magazine.
For the pictures?
Yeah. No, I used to read the sex advice column.
The sex advice column. Did you listen?
Everybody.
Did you
should
take
still
any
read
notice
it,
of
mate.
It?
I did, yeah.
Right,
no,
okay.
Quite an
read it
about,
again.
I was about 40. I used to read
this
the doctors.
This time, take the advice.
Any case, this time Cosmopolitan have done a This Is Healthy. They have done a feature on basically glamorising obesity.
Yes.
It is using plus size models, as we call them now,
yes.
And saying fit bodies come in all shapes and sizes. Now, this basically is true. Fit bodies do that, come. You can
point,
be
yes.
fit, and
yes.
yeah, you can be fit, and you can be
fat.
Larger.
Yes, you can be fat and fit.
You can be fat
can
and
you?
Fit.
Well,
however,
can you?
Obesity. Yes, you can. Obesity is a killer.
Yeah,
and there is no getting away from that. And the thing I find quite annoying about this particular cover is that it is they've done this cover to encourage sales of the magazine, obviously. However, they are promoting obesity.
Mm.
Now, 2/3 of adults in this country are obese, 20% of children in this country are obese. Not only...
And most people who are fat don't really want to be fat either.
No, they don't, and I do believe that. And you look at all the celebrities like Adele, for example,
yeah.
who, you know, one minute it's like, oh, look at me, I'm proud of my curves.
Yeah, yeah.
The next she loses 7 stone, it's like, oh my God, I feel so fit and healthy.
Mm.
So it's wrong for them to promote it at this time of year, especially with COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, you are... I think 70% more likely to be hospitalised with COVID
yeah.
if you're obese. You're more likely to die of it. And
that also,
is...
you know, you couldn't get away with it any other way, could you? Because then you remember when you were back in the days when you were in Fleet Street, there was this war on our sort of anorexic models.
Exactly.
For a long time, they did
yeah.
that sort of heroin chic.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
had these models who looked like yeah. they'd literally stopped shooting up in a gallery
yeah.
and come out
See,
and posed.
This is the
and
thing.
And you can't glamorise that.
No, you can't glamorise an anorexic look. And Cosmopolitan wouldn't do that. But by promoting obesity, we're worshipping at the cult of obesity. And if you dare say anything about it, it's fat shaming.
Yeah.
No, it's not fat shaming. People die.
Right.
Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, even some kinds of cancer mm. now. And we are getting fatter as a nation, one of the fattest countries in Europe. And I just think it's irresponsible for them to encourage
yes.
people to think that obesity is a good thing, because it never
no,
actually
I think
is.
You're absolutely right. And it is weird, isn't it, that, again, like everything else which you're supposed to agree with, if you disagree with it, you're some horrible
well,
kind of individual
the
who's making out that, you know, there's something wrong with fat people. I mean, it's true to say, for example, when there was the debate about the BMI, is it the BMI?
Yeah.
That level, apparently, if you went and examined every member of the All Blacks rugby team, their BMI would be
because
sky high
muscle
because
is
they've
heavier
got so
than
much
fat.
Muscle mm. On them. It's fine. They're mm. obviously very fit men.
Mm.
But,
oh,
you, know,
so, yeah.
You know, obviously my BMI is if it's the same as a member of the All Blacks.
You don't play
you know,
for the All Blacks.
I don't, no. And I don't think I'd even get a game. but, you know, and it would also be very painful.
You wouldn't be on
getting
a wing,
hit by one of those guys. No, I certainly wouldn't be running. I'd just be standing there. But, you know, the point is that clearly this is why some of these measurements are not completely to be taken absolutely as read.
No, absolutely.
But I don't think there's any... It's not difficult to look at somebody and go, they don't look very healthy.
But the, and then the thing is, most people who do lose weight successfully have been done so because a loved one or a medical professional has said, you do need
you
to
need
lose
to,
weight.
Yeah.
But you can't say that because that is fat
yeah.
shaming.
I mean, listen, I'd love to lose weight, but the trouble is I'd have to give up drinking. And the problem for me is not so much the eating, it's the drinking. And I don't really want to give it up until such time as I do. I gave up smoking because I wanted to. If I eventually decide I'm going to lose some weight, I will because I want
it's
to.
Your, look, it's your
and you have to do it.
It's your personal choice.
Yeah.
If you want to be overweight, then that's fine.
Exactly.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be.
Yeah, no, listen,
however,
I don't particularly want to be, though.
However, to promote it as a healthy body image is wrong.
It is, and you shouldn't be doing covers like that on Cosmopolitan. I mean, what happened to the days when they just used to put, you know, what's the face, yeah. Cindy Crawford on the front and yeah. be done with it?
Well, I think
fit, athletic.
I take Dawn's point entirely, but I do, it's probably a debate for another time, but I do worry about ordering people around. If you want to be fat, you can be fat.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm
concerned.
Not
saying you shouldn't.
Eat what you like.
Yeah.
It's none of the state's business. It's none of my business. None of anyone's business.
No.
Well, I don't like this.
But this new
Nazism
medical,
around
this new medical
fatness.
Kind of, you know, Nazism, if you want to call it that, is about, you know, oh, but we have to prevent the health service from getting overwhelmed.
Oh
so
God,
you
don't start that again.
You mustn't be unwell because then we'd
don't
have to take you into
the
hospital.
Don't make the health service treat the unhealthy.
It does cost millions of pounds.
Well, as I've said. Well,
you
it
know,
does, but
yeah,
some
well, we pay
things.
For it.
I'm not
we
suggesting
pay for
otherwise.
It.
Loads of things cost
I'm
millions of
I'm not suggesting
pounds.
Otherwise.
You know, supporting poor people costs millions of pounds, but
I'm,
you wouldn't
I'm
suggest
not, suggesting
not doing
otherwise.
It.
But
the people who are fat and who cost the NHS millions of pounds pay their taxes. That's the way
However,
it goes.
It's time we stopped tiptoeing around the obesity issue. We need to be honest about what it is
yeah,
and what
no,
it does.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I do
well,
not disagree.
Well, I say let people be fat and let people eat
Now, one of the things you can do, of course, if you wish to lose weight, is a bit of exercise, okay? Now, imagine having to do that and then finding yourself arrested by the police. My second nominee is the Derbyshire Police, who haven't exactly covered themselves in glory during
previous.
This pandemic, because these are the same people that sent up a load of drones, if you remember, back in the first lockdown to catch people out.
Two people gone,
walking
their dogs
walking.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. Get down, stop that. You know, I've just watched a video, actually, and it's not, funnily enough, not the Derbyshire Police, it's some other COVID official stopping a bloke jogging, accusing him of breathing heavily in the open air. I mean, this is not what we want to see, right?
There was the proposal in the middle of the last lockdown that if theatres were to reopen in musicals, they mustn't be able to sing because that would project too many germs.
Yeah.
Musicals
well, you know,
without songs.
But
I
you
see.
Know, this was the advent of the music ban in Scotland because, you know, even when the pubs were open, they weren't allowed to play
yeah,
any music
because
they were worried people might start singing or talking loudly to make sure they could be heard over the music. Are you going... What?
Oh, it's yeah. just
really.
Yeah, that's really going to stop the spread of the virus. Isn't
I mean,
it?
Unbelievable.
No
anyway,
singing
so
in pubs that'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this refers to the two women, Jessica Allen and Eliza Moore. Now, I'm slightly perplexed by this story in a way because it turns out, apparently, and you may know more about this than I do, that these two are somehow involved in some kind of reality TV show, which I didn't know about, and I've heard that said, and they certainly did.
The only way is Derby.
Well. The only way is, yeah. The only
Ooh,
way is
that's
Derby.
A rating fit, isn't it?
Real
don't see it working.
Real Housewives of the Peak District. I mean, I don't know. Well, they've got them in Cheshire. You know, why not? But anyway, so these two, right, drive to a reservoir separately, two separate cars.
And it's only 5 miles.
Right.
It's not like they're driven across the country.
From their house. They pick up a cup of coffee on the way. They get out of the cars to be greeted by what can only be described as a sort of SWAT team of police officers, right, who have turned up. They both said, we thought there'd been a murder around the local area because there were so many cops and they were expecting to be questioned about what they'd seen, instead of which they found themselves being handed a £200 fine and a public order offence piece of paper because they were walking and apparently carrying coffee constitutes
which
having
a picnic.
Which is a picnic. So... They might as well have had a picnic
it's
chocolate
ludicrous,
bar, I suppose.
Isn't it?
But I'll tell you what, they were very good at doing. They were very good at then getting themselves pictured doing it some more somehow.
Yes.
So that's why, I mean, with all of these stories, you have to slightly
I'm
look
a bit,
behind the curtain.
A bit dubious
sometimes.
About these young ladies,
a little
I
bit
have
dubious,
to admit.
But nevertheless, Derbyshire Police fell lying
fined,
and sinker for it.
You know.
Because what they shouldn't have done was hand them a fine.
No.
That's proven, of course, by the fact that Matt Hancock said it was a good idea and then they immediately rescinded it.
They rescinded it, haven't they? And they've apologised.
Yeah,
and then reverse
it away,
ferreted
yeah.
on them. So Matt Hancock got it wrong. Yesterday, Priti Patel made it worse by appearing with one of the heads of the constabulary on the media briefing to say that, to basically threaten everybody that if you don't do what you're told, we'll just set the cops on you.
Mm.
You're kind of going, is this really what you want to be giving us as guidance? Is this really what you want to be telling us?
You know, there's a problem with all this, that each constabulary and Priti Patel, they're saying.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree.
That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
The rules have to be applied. It's up to the PCs on the ground, the coppers on the ground, yes, to decide what action they should take. That's absolutely legally not true.
Of course it's not.
It should not. It isn't up to the PC
no,
on the ground.
Not.
It is a matter of the law of the land. Mm. It is not for
and
PCs.
And also they don't even know what the law of the land
well,
is.
It is not for police constables to make a judgment.
No, it's not. No, it has to be. It's the law. But the problem is there's law, there's government advice, there's guidelines.
There's guidelines. Right.
And then Priti Patel's going, no, it's crystal clear, everyone knows what they're doing. And I'm going, well, quite clearly,
actually, no,
they don't.
Well, Adam Wagner, who's a guy that's quite active on Twitter, who's a lawyer, he put out a thing yesterday saying that the guidance and the laws on what you can do and what you can't do have been changed 65 times since last March.
Yeah. Really?
So, I mean, and when people challenged him on it, he literally listed all the different things that have been changed. Because, I've said this on the radio, I'm supposed to be all over this. I'm supposed to know exactly what the rules are. I actually don't know what they are anymore.
Absolutely, no.
Because nobody tells you how far you can go.
Yeah.
And if you ask anyone how far you can go, they can't tell you.
Well, I mean, it's
Boris apparently can cycle 7 miles to the Olympic Park.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that.
No.
He lives in London. That's fine.
Seven and if you're miles on a bike,
on a bike
actually
7 miles
local.
Is probably nothing, is it?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if I'm going to go and see my children because I'm in their bubble, number one, and also they are my kids, that's allowed. I can't go and see somebody else's kids. That's understandable.
But
I can't go to anybody else's house.
Isn't confusing about the rules. None of them have worked. But surely we should be at least contemplating a different approach, because the approach so far has not worked.
No. And I think the vaccinations are supposed to do that, but we shall see.
That may help.
What's your third one, Kev?
My third one is the Doctor Who former
You're
writer.
Going back down that road.
Russell T. Davis.
No.
Not Russell T. Davis. For
isn't he the guy that wrote Doctor Who?
For conflating Daleks with Nazis. No, not that. It is because he has written a new drama called It's a Sin.
Right.
It's about the scourge of HIV and AIDS in the 1980s and how that affected the gay community in Britain, which is fine. It's an interesting topic. But along the way, he has asserted that he believes that only gay actors can play gay characters. Mm. Now, lots of gay actors, my friend Christopher Biggins, for example, Simon Callow, lots of gay actors have come up, have stood up and said, this is absolute nonsense.
Yes.
Absolute nonsense.
Which it is.
It's called acting.
It's acting.
And what Russell T. Davis says, I get his argument, I just don't agree with it. He says, if I cast a heterosexual guy or woman to play a gay character, then they're going to be acting out what it's like to be gay. And he said, I don't think that's the point. He said, gay people, I want them to be criminals or drug addicts or vicars or whatever. I don't want them to be playing gays. I want them to be playing these characters. Well, fine. So give the part to a heterosexual actor if you think they're going to play the part better.
Right.
This nonsense that only disabled people can play disabled people is, again, an affront to the craft of acting.
Exactly. I'd have more sympathy for him, and I haven't seen everything that he said, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd have more sympathy if he said, look, you can't possibly know how it feels to be gay unless you are gay. So if you're going to play a gay man or a gay woman, it might be better if you know how that feels. However, what I would say to that is, you couldn't possibly know what it was like to be gay in the 80s when AIDS was around if you're only, in your 20s now, because it's a completely different experience. I mean, I remember living in New York in the 80s when AIDS was around, and it was horrific.
Mm.
It was absolutely horrific. And I had friends who worked with the gay community, and they would like literally cook lunch for them every Sunday.
You should have been in West Hollywood, well, in LA.
Well, I mean, dropping like flies. I was in the West Village a couple of times, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, every week somebody wouldn't turn up because they died.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad it was. It was horrible.
But, I mean, the thing, as you say, Kevin, the point of acting is to play
different
something
characters.
Else,
yes.
To be, not be yourself in any way, shape or form. And a great actor makes you really believe in their character.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is what the point
of...
I mean, how many great gay actors have there been playing really straight, you know,
heterosexual characters? So are you going to ban gay actors? If you're going to ban heterosexuals from playing gay characters, then you have to ban gay characters from playing heterosexuals. And that, in the world of acting, is going to cause a lot of problems.
It would, as you can imagine.
And just as we're going down the road of colourblind casting, which I think is fantastic, you know, if you're the best actor for the role, doesn't matter what colour your skin is, play that role.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. We're going down that now, and Bridgerton is it, which I think I'm not watching.
Yeah,
but
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
That seems to be...
It's so rubbish. It's boring. So boring.
Well, it's a period drama, so that's the first reason
it's getting
to go
around the colourblind casting thing. You know, the best person for the role is the best actor to do it, no matter what their sexuality is or what their colour is, without sounding too woke about it.
Well, there's a great story, isn't there, from Marathon Man, from Laurence Olivier, when he was playing with Dustin Hoffman. And I don't know if you remember the film, but, you know, Laurence Olivier plays this crazed Nazi dentist. Back to Nazis again.
Great film.
It's a great film. And it's actually...
Is it safe?
Yeah. And I can imagine it must be the worst torture of all time to have somebody, you know, like, boring into your filling. You know? But
like
at one stage or other, he's been in this kind of dentist chair and not sleeping. And he comes into work one day, Dustin Hoffman, looking like death, looking awful, filthy, hair's all mangled, you know. And Laurence Olivier says, "Dear boy, what have you been doing?" And he was like, "Oh, well, you know, to get into character, I thought I'd spend the weekend on the streets." And he'd been literally sleeping on the streets of Manhattan in order to get to himself into this role. And Laurence Olivier apparently looked at him and just went, "It's called acting, dear boy."
Yes.
It's called acting.
Yeah, exactly.
I've
right,
been in the
it?
Four Seasons, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think Russell T. Davis... is just wrong, and
it's been said
play any character.
Has it not also been said? Because I've listened to a couple of conversations about this particular situation that he wrote Queer as Folk,
which
was a great show,
and he cast four straight men.
Yeah, where he cast straight men
in,
to play the gay, and that was a really very authenticated, in my view, anyway, sort of homage to gayness, wasn't it?
Yeah. To be fair to him, he says he's come to change his mind for the reasons.
Suddenly
that
turned
I
into
explained.
The South Bank show.
Also,
this hasn't it?
Yeah, but he also he said. Yeah, he said he's come to...
Where's Melvin Bragg?
Surely regrettable standpoint of Russell T. Davis. So he says he's changed his mind, which is fair enough.
Oh, has he?
But he also says that his standpoint now is not woke. Oh, yes, it is.
Oh,
Russell.
It is, I'm afraid.
It very much is. And for being woke and for being stupid about whether or not actors
you
can play different characters from themselves, you are Plank of the Week.
Also, can I also say, anyone who puts their sense middle initial in their name, I have a problem with. Unless you're an American golfer, right? Yeah. Russell T. Davis? How about just Russell Davis?
Yeah, well, you don't know what it stands for, do you? Tool.
Tool?
Yeah,
there you
apparently.
Go.
Indeed. There might have been another Russell
there
Davis.
Could have been another T. I thought you were going to say there was another word for the word T.
I think it sounds T for the Daleks. I think it has something to do with the
Daleks.
Russell,
the, something to do with Russell the Davis.
The Davis. Who's your third one, Dawn?
Right, my third one is we are going back to a bit of a woke one here, the statues again.
Oh, yes.
Again,
we haven't had a statue for a while.
We know. This is a new take on the statues as well. I didn't think we could have a new take on it, but evidently we have. This is councillors in Exeter in Devon.
Yes.
They've had an equality impact assessment undertaken.
Of course they have.
On a statue, I don't even know what that
they
is.
They used to just collect the bins.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, you know.
On a statue of General Sir Redvers Buller, which stands outside Exeter University.
Yeah.
He did something big in South Africa several hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Case, the main problem they have with this statue is not that he was a war hero and might have been a bit sort of slavey racist type thing. You know, but this one is. The conservation literature, the views of women, transgender and non-binary people are captured in this because the statue is going to upset people who do not define themselves in binary gender terms.
So it's offensiveness. He's a bloke.
He's a bloke, basically.
I was going to ask if somebody could...
Which is not very sound.
I was going to ask if you could explain what that means. What does it mean?
It's that he's a bloke, it offends non-binary people.
Now, most statues in this country are either a bloke or a woman.
Right.
Yeah. They?
So a woman would be just as offensive.
Yeah, so pretty much every statue.
So any
in this
statue
country,
with a gender
any
is offensive.
Statue with a gender.
What about an animal
offensive.
Statue? What about like if it was a bear or something?
Well, can you identify as a bear? I mean, is that?
Well, it depends
I mean,
what gender it is.
Well, I don't know. Well, there's the mermaid statue in Copenhagen, which keeps getting its head cut off.
Well, see, that's obviously very offensive. So yeah. Basically, if you go down that road, though. Every statue is offensive.
It's bad news for Boadicea on Westminster Bridge, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You've seen that mermaid statue.
I've never been to Copenhagen.
No, I went there when I was...
Mate of mine
first
went,
time
and
I was a kid.
The head was missing.
Yeah, very, very excited to see this legendary, impressive statue. Yeah, yeah. It's about this big.
It's really small,
it's
isn't
tiny.
It?
It's small,
I've
yeah.
heard that.
Yeah.
Stonehenge is a bit like that. You know, when you drive to Stonehenge and you're really looking forward to this, it's a bit like that scene yeah. from Spinal Tap. You remember they bring the tiny Stonehenge out? You kind of go, I thought it would be bigger. It's because, I mean, it is quite big, but when you're driving towards it, it looks tiny.
Yeah.
You know.
Any case, the final bit of this story is that...
So they're going to take it down if they covered it up?
They're going to take it down, they're going to move it, even though no one from what I can work out in Exeter is even bothered
no.
or aware or think it, I mean, and it's outside the university and even students are going, what? What are you talking
yeah,
about?
Who is he?
But the thing is, they are going to spend a minimum of £25,000 to do this. And I'm sure the taxpayers in Exeter will be very, very happy.
It's unbelievable,
with
isn't
that.
It?
Why don't
really
they put
is.
Like a dress on him and then say he's non-binary?
Well, because he can't be non-binary for the dress, can you? Surely
yeah,
it would
well,
have
if
to
you,
be clothing of a
non-determinate... If you've got like a bloke's military helmet on and a dress on, that makes you kind
he's
of...
He's on a horse as well.
...sexually ambivalent,
he's on a horse,
he?
I forgot, to, I forgot yeah, to say
so
he's
that,
on a horse.
Then you wouldn't be offensive to anybody.
Is it a mare? Do we know? Gelding?
I didn't look that close.
Yeah.
But you're right, Don. I've read that story myself, and it is a particularly egregious example
oh.
of wokery gone
Nobody's
mad.
Nobody's complaining about this stuff,
no
right?
One's
but
about
you know,
it.
Wokery, is, we could say, I think it's culturally very worrying, mm. And it's something we should stop this year. We should try and stop all this nonsense. But actually, in the vaccine program, it actually got physically dangerous to the population of this country because people who volunteered, old doctors and nurses,
oh, yeah.
and people volunteered to come back from retirement to become vaccinators, had to fill in a 21-point questionnaire, and if they couldn't provide documentary evidence that they'd been on a diversity course and understood about racial differences, then they weren't allowed to be vaccinated. So that's wokeism
causing
physical
problems, yeah.
harm
yeah.
to the
yeah.
population.
Yeah.
And to be fair to Boris, which is something I don't often do, he has had a go at the NHS for
he has, and Hancock apparently has told them to stop all
crazy.
Of that and,
yeah.
to, and
crazy.
To stop that nonsense.
Yeah. People,
absolutely
people
right. But then, you know, we've got the London mayor who hasn't made it this week, I'm afraid, Sadiq, but he might carry
it was
over.
Tempting.
He might carry over.
I was so
you know,
tempted.
Because he was
He's
in
always
last
there
week.
Lurking.
He's always there lurking. And there is one that carries over from last week. I mean, this is a guy who has dedicated himself to renaming London streets, to doing a complete and utter kind of commission on statues. The one that I talked about last year, in fact, is in St. Thomas's Hospital over there,
yeah.
is all covered up still. You know, Thomas Guy, the bloke who founded both St. Thomas's and Guy's Hospital with a philanthropic grant of the equivalent of millions and millions of pounds to help poor people. He's now not allowed to be seen by most
despite
of us
the fact
in case he upsets us because he might have had something to do with the slave trade.
It's got to stop this. It's got to stop. It's insanity. It's
despite
got
the
to
fact
stop.
That hospital is saving
yeah.
thousands of people's lives.
Yeah. And, you know, what are you going to do? Just take the hospital down with it? And just, you know.
I think we just get rid of statues full stop. No more statues. I'm sorry, Mike, Kev. No statues.
You know,
Indiana.
I was looking forward to a statue as well. Never mind. I guess.
No.
Maybe a painting.
Do you know statues are not art?
Aren't they?
No.
Have you told
Picasso
Because
they have a purpose.
Have you told Picasso?
Right.
No,
they
Picasso
have, they
drew,
have a,
no, Picasso made statues which are art, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, but the, well, yeah, but they're not. They weren't commissioned to be statues of
people.
If it's commissioned by a government or a local council, it means it has a purpose, and therefore it is not art.
Is that right?
Right. Okay. Well, it really is a South Bank show now, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I mean, really is, isn't it?
I don't know how I lost control of this show.
I've always disputed
yeah.
that.
It used to be funny, you know. God's sake. Right, now, here's one for you. This is going to be right from left field because normally it's individuals or organisations or magazines in your case. Today, I'm nominating two anonymous people. I don't know what their names are, but it was a piece in the paper that I read, one of those great pieces where you just read it and laugh out loud. Two burglars decided upon themselves to take on somebody's house in Stoke-on-Trent a week ago, I think it was, on Thursday night. Unfortunately for them, one of them managed to sort of, by accident, call the police while they were in the process of breaking into the house. by somehow hitting his phone. I don't know why you would have the police on a speed dial.
Yeah, pre-dial. But you know, when you've
asked dial.
Why would you do that?
But anyway, he rang the police. And so the police then discovered that they were listening in to a burglary in progress, which then allowed them to locate where the phone signal was coming from, send a load of Rosses round to arrest them while they were in the act. So, and then they also were able to listen to them being arrested because the guy's phone was still on. I mean, you've got to be a special kind of plank to do that.
This brought to an end their reign of terror. Yeah, reign super of criminals. Master criminals.
Master criminals, yeah, that was the end of their terror.
It's a good job the police could spare people to pop round there in between arresting people, having a cup of coffee by a reservoir.
Chasing after joggers.
Disorganised crime.
I mean, just absolutely hopeless. Anyway, but I think once in a while we have to throw some of those.
Yeah, no, that's a good one, actually. There is actually a book called Heroic Failures, which lists a whole...
Yeah, I mean, this is almost sort of Darwin Award type, isn't it?
Absolutely. Of really idiotic things that happen to people. But they are funny.
Very funny. Right, so there we are. We've got 9. So now all we've got to do is the hard bit now, getting them down to 3. Mm. So whose, Dawn, do you want to pick? I'll let you do the picking first. Do you want to pick his or mine?
I'm going to pick Kev's, I think.
All right, then.
I did that last time.
Okay, so your three were?
To remind you, Angela Merkel for calling it the British virus.
That's a good one.
Nancy Pelosi for also potentially inciting violence all across America with the impeachment. And finally, the writer of Doctor Who.
The Daleks.
possibly the man who pretended that Daleks represented the Nazis.
Yes.
Russell T. Davis in a very different context for saying
Russell T. Darling.
For saying that only gay actors can play gay characters.
I am so tempted to go for Russell T. Davis.
By the way, presumably he must also now believe that only Daleks can play Daleks.
Well, exactly.
Well, only Time Lords can play Time Lords.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Right.
It's mad.
No, Kev, I'm sorry, I'm going to let you off this one. I'm going to go for Angela Merkel.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice.
Yeah,
very good choice. Okay, so Kevin, you pick mine. Twitter, the Derbyshire Police, and the Hapless Burglars.
I love the Hapless Burglars, but I just don't think we can have them in the top three. two people we can't even name.
I think that's right.
It's a great story. With all due respect for highly commended Derbyshire Police, who were never far from the Plank of the Week list. They really are a bunch, that lot. I don't know who runs the Derbyshire Police, but it's a WPC woke.
The Keystone Cops.
Yeah, the Keystone Cops. Cops of wokery. But I'm going to go for Twitter for their sinister political activity in censoring people they don't agree with.
Yes. Yep. And then complaining when Uganda censors them, which really is what makes it for me. So that's good. So we've got Twitter, we've got Angela Merkel. Dawn, tell us your three.
Okay, my three were Madonna for hypocrisy jetting around the world when we're all in lockdown, but saying we're all in this together. Cosmopolitan magazine for worshipping at the cult of obesity, which is killing people. And the councillors in Exeter for deciding that statues shouldn't have genders, full stop.
I think it's got to be Madonna. I think it's got to be the material girl. Because that is absolutely ridiculous. I like the councillors too. I mean, we could agree and put the councillors in fourth place if you like.
They're all mine. I don't mind.
I think Madonna is absolutely outrageous. Not least because, I mean, in a serious point, I mean, she could have actually spread an awful lot of COVID around the world.
Well, yeah.
When hardly anybody's going anywhere.
I mean, the thing is, she did go to two fairly relatively poor countries in Africa, Malawi and Kenya. So, I mean,
where they don't have it much.
Well, they don't have it much.
Where she gets all the kids from, Malawi. Yeah.
Madonna goes to Malawi for it as well.
She's got two little girls from there. And I think, to be fair, she was visiting one of the hospitals she set up out there.
Yeah.
But, however...
Still.
It's, these are countries that don't have great medical facilities.
No one likes a do-gooder.
No.
And it's just the lecturing. It's that bath. Remember the bath and the rose petals. I'm still
also, you just know that therapy. There's so much about it which is to do with her being in the public eye.
Her entire career has been a joke. You know, they always go, mistress of reinvention. So she turns up one day, dressed in PVC.
Yeah.
And the next day she turns up dressed as a cowgirl.
She's not exactly
and
David
goes,
Bowie.
What an amazing
girl. Amazing.
She's completely changed her image. Brilliant.
She was in some really bad movies as well. Remember that movie?
Did you get the book?
Sean
Penn. Did you get the book, Sex?
The Sex Book, no. Mm. No, I saw it, but I didn't buy it.
Shanghai Surprise was
one of the worst films ever made. Uh-huh. When Sean Penn, for a brief period, went completely and utterly insane.
Yes, yeah.
And married her. Also, one of my favourite scenes, and you must have been in Hollywood at the time when she got married, you remember?
Yeah.
And the helicopters were all sitting, and Phil Ramey was a photographer that we all know. was in a helicopter amongst three helicopters, and they came out on the balcony and just got blown back in. Hilarious. Right then, so Madonna, Angela Merkel, and Twitter. What do you reckon?
Personally, I mean, I know it's mine, but I do really object to Angela Merkel calling it the British virus. I think it's outrageous.
That is a good one. Yeah, I hadn't heard that. I must admit, that is a good nomination. It's a bit cheeky as well, isn't it? I mean, because...
And she does have a lot to answer for.
And also, it's not just traditionally invoking the old British enemies, trying to besmirch.
You imagine if it's been also, the other way round. Imagine if Boris Johnson had done it.
Yeah, but it's also sucking up. It's also outrageous toadying to the Chinese to get get this EU deal
which is
through.
Great start.
Yes, so she doesn't. I would go along with that.
I think we're agreed. Yeah.
Okay, and maybe
Madonna second.
Put Twitter in between the two women. I would say.
Okay.
So Twitter second.
Twitter sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Madonna on one side, Angela Merkel on the other.
You wouldn't want to be Twitter, really, would you?
Poor Twitter. I mean, take it all back. I feel sorry for it now.
Punishment enough.
I feel sorry for it now.
So, Angela Merkel, I'm afraid you haven't won much in this country, but you've now won Plank of the Week. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, Kevin. We may well see you next week, depending on whether we're all still here. And we'll talk to you then.